You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Okay, it is officially right now 1:55 a.m. Friday morning. We are here. Get some groans going on. We still have some media. Can we turn this around to show the media room? Is everybody okay being on the pod? Say hi, everybody. That's what the media room looks like at 1:55 in the morning after round one of the NFL draft, a round in which the Bills came in with 10 picks. Left with 10 picks and no one to trot out here at this particular podium to talk to us.
That's why we can come here, because nobody else needed to use the podium tonight. Catherine wanted to use the podium. She thought about it. She has questions. We should just do an episode where we just take questions from down there. Oh, Elena's taking a picture of us. Yeah, they didn't make a draft pick tonight. Usually they trade up. Tonight they traded back twice. I know what everybody is probably wanting to talk about is the fact that they traded back with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we will certainly get to that. Now they have three day two picks, which is interesting. They've got some ammo to move up, move around, maybe make some cool stuff happen. But so far it's been pretty boring.
Okay. So you said it though. That's the story tonight, which is it's not the trades. Mm-hmm. It's who they traded with.
Yeah.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Bills fans are a lot of them upset. Some are happy. They said, hey, they got value. That's what the draft is about. Mm-hmm. A lot of fans are upset because they waited all night and the Bills didn't draft. And then on top of it, oh, by the way, you just handed the Kansas City Chiefs the fastest player ever at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
And Xavier Worthy. Why the heck would you do that, Brandon Bean? I thought he gave it a good explanation. Whether you agree or disagree, I liked what he said.
Uh-huh. Here's my thing. Okay. I might be an outlier here. I'm not that bothered by any of it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I understand that there's the rivalry there. But if they passed on Worthy, then they clearly didn't think Worthy was that great. So to them, they don't really care if they think the Chiefs are good. I know that he can be great with the Chiefs offense, but a lot of people can be great in the Chiefs offense. So clearly, I don't think that they were bothered by the idea of Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs. And hey, he was there at 28. So 27 other teams didn't think he was worthy of a first-round pick. So and I also there you go.
Worthy is your pun.
That was not even intentional.
Let me tell you, you have 2 points here because your point is right. Brandon Bean's not going to say that we didn't think he was worthy of it, but the proof is there. Mm-hmm. They could have taken him. The Bills wanted him. They could have drafted him. What fans are mad then? Why did you hand him to Kansas City? What I liked about what he said was true, which is, look, if we don't trade with them, they're probably going to take him anyway. Mm-hmm. Whether they take him at 29 or 30, or 31, or stay where they are at 32, if that's the guy they want, they're going to get him. So if we're not going to take him, why not just make the deal that's best for us?
What I want to know is, and I don't even know if they'll end up picking at 33, but if they pick at 33, who are they taking? And would it have been, you know, a ridiculous reach for them to take that person at 28? But if they take that person at 28, then there's only three more players that would have been picked until the Chiefs could have taken Worthy. So I just don't even know if it really would have mattered. I like the idea of getting the additional third round pick. I think that's at least a decent asset that can probably get you a player that at least is going to play snaps this year. Probably not a ton of snaps, but third round picks for them in the past have actually worked out. So I'm not really that I don't think the sky is falling. Like, I just don't.
I mean, I think a lot of people are just upset because they waited all night, saw the anticipation, and the Bills, you know, don't make a deal. But again, on top of it, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, the team, of course, in 2017 they dealt with, and the Chiefs used that selection to select Patrick Mahomes, and that's part of the scar tissue that happens here. But to answer your question, we heard last week Brandon Bean say they didn't have 28 first-round grades.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean someone can't get to them. They don't have a first-round grade, but clearly that is the case. If the Bills had a first-round grade on a player at 28, I think they take them. To me, this is an indication there was nobody on the board they had a first-round grade on. Mm-hmm. So why use a first-round pick on them when you can move back? And he told us tonight, after this morning, I guess now, after he said they do have more second-round grades than first-round grades. So now he gets that extra pick by moving back. And at the end of the day, it's not extra picks, actually. It's 10 for 10 overall, but it's a lot more value in the picks. They now have four fifth rounders. They have that third rounder that obviously, Matt, was super important for him, going all the way back to the owners' meetings to talk about losing, not getting that third round pick.
I don't know. I just, as we get ready for day two now of the draft, I could see them taking two wide receivers.
Me too.
With their three picks. So now you have to go back to, you know, we obviously have hindsight here, but what is more valuable to the Buffalo Bills? Trading up a little bit and getting Brian Thomas Jr. or getting two guys on day two who you think are almost as good as Brian Thomas Jr.? If they really liked him, I think they would have tried to move up and get him. It would have only probably costed a future third round pick, but they didn't. So once again, that tells you what they think of him. I know we talked about him a lot in this process of, hey, he's the consensus kind of top four. He's the fourth guy after the stacked top three, but he said they didn't try and trade up. So I think that says a lot about how they felt about the wide receiver class. Maybe they thought it was the top three guys and then everybody else was kind of in the same bucket. And now they think that, hey, if it's a crapshoot, let's try and take two kicks at the can as opposed to just having one. So we'll get another pick back. I'm really interested though. Like, I don't know what if they make the pick at 33, I don't know if it's going to be a receiver. Maybe it's Cooper DeJean. Like, that would not shock me. Jerzon Newton would not shock me. Like, there are some pretty good prospects that are still available.
That's right. It doesn't have to be a receiver, but they're now loaded to maybe take two of them. Like you said, we can talk about a few of those names in a second, but he also said they didn't try to trade up. He didn't even try to do it. So whether it's Brian Thomas or anybody else, he called it all smoke. The report that the Bills were actively trying to trade into the top 10, maybe to get Rome Odunze. So Brandon Bean basically threw water on all of that. He came into this draft knowing that it's a possibility they could get to where they are and they'd have to trade down. That's what they ultimately do. Now he has a whole day to sit on pick number 33. So he's already fielding calls. So it's interesting. Could they even trade again? Yes. I think they could.
They absolutely could. They could absolutely trade again if they want to make another smaller. I mean, let's think, what if they want a wide receiver? You're sitting here on the board now, and here are the names that are going to come up. It's Adonai Mitchell, who they could have taken at 28, and I don't think people would have been complaining. You've got Troy Franklin. You've got Ladd McConkey. You've got Keon Coleman. You've got Javon Baker. Like, there's a lot of guys that are still available. So if you think that they're all in the same bucket, trade back again and try and add another asset. And then maybe you can take two wide receivers in the second round. And then you can use that third round pick to try and trade up and take a safety. Or maybe they try and do one wide receiver in round two, one safety. And then in the third round, they take another wide receiver. They also now have four fifth round picks. I do not think that they will be going into day three with four fifth round picks. So I think those are going to be used to try and maneuver around the draft board, and maybe where they are right now with pick 90 or pick 95 in the third round from Kansas City, maybe they use some of those fifth round picks to try and get up more into the 80s and get a guy who they think can be an impact player.
Give me another scenario when it comes to Friday night and pick number 33, but we've gone 7+ minutes without letting you know. This is always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove right here. The Bills do not make a selection in the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to be here doing this again Friday night. Saturday, we'll be talking about it, wrapping everything up wherever you pod. And it's always game day in Buffalo. And of course, on video on the Sal Sports YouTube page. A little while longer, not much more yawning. I know. I got radio at 7 a.m. You got your baby getting up, whatever hour that's going to be.
We had itty bitty story time at the Grand Island Public Library, and that feels like an eternity ago. So we did that earlier. I did that earlier on Thursday morning, and then I thought, oh, you know what? It's going to be a pretty chill day. We know how this is going to go. It certainly was not chill. And then everything that we had planned then kind of exploded once they just traded back, and then they did it again. So it was. It's been a day.
I had Little League practice, and literally had my. There's John Mora opening up something to drink right there. I want to talk about this. John's day is done. His night is done. His morning's done. Anyway, I literally had sweatpants over my jeans and a hoodie over the, I did the Superman thing and just took it off to run, you know, get here. Okay. So what about this possibility? This has been floated around. Could the Bills use the capital that they've gained to maybe get an actual like rostered wide receiver in a trade? Because here's why I say it, Matt, as much as it would cost a contract and, you know, you have other issues that go along with it, no matter what receiver they take, I don't care who they take on Friday night or Saturday. They're walking out of here over the weekend still without a number one wide receiver on the team.
Yeah. But I also think that based off of the comments that they said, they were planning on walking out of this draft. If they legitimately did not have conversations to try and trade up and get one of the big three, and if they didn't even think that Brian Thomas was worth jumping four or five spots for, then they did not think that they were getting a wide receiver one in this draft. So then that has to bring us to that point. Are there players out there that they think are attainable that they would be willing to try and get? I mean, the free agent market is pretty bare at this point. So that means to me, I don't think there's anybody free agency who's going to come in and be a wide receiver one. I don't know if you can roll into next season with two guys that you take on day two, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir, and feel good about your wide receiver room. So that means I think they have to explore some of the options.
And let's remember, June 1st, they get $10 million in salary cap space. And by making these moves, they also lower the cap hit they would have had for their rookie class. They actually saved money by making these moves, and they're going to gain more money on June 1st by opening up $10 million. I'm just saying that this is still a possibility that there's someone out there they might want to go and target and trade for and have a little money to give an extension to even. We heard rumors on Thursday night about Brandon Ayuk. We know that he could be, you know, moved. Even Deebo Samuel, there's still T. Higgins out there. I just don't think you can really ever discount this now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just always am wondering, and I think that Friday, the entire Friday, is going to be interesting because I think that we're going to kind of get more clarity just from different reports from around the league. What guys are available? What guys aren't available? Is there somebody who could be had? Like a DK I'm not saying DK Metcalf, but I'm just saying, like, are there players like that, established, legitimate wide receivers that would be available? Because I do think the 33rd pick is a desirable pick. I think there will be teams that want that, which is why I would not rule out the Bills moving back again or using that as an asset to try and go and get something else. Like, if the Bills trade the 33rd pick for one of the guys that we've mentioned and then do whatever they do with their other second round pick and then with their third round pick, I don't think there's going to be people that are that upset about it.
Let me just run through again what the Bills have going forward. Here we go. They have two twos, a three, a four, four fives, a six, and a seven. Yes, they still have 10 picks, the same number they came in with, but a lot of those are much better capital than what they had earlier. Instead of having, for example, they moved up 40 spots. Brandon Bean said a big reason they made the move with the Chiefs, they went up 40 spots, 38 spots from 90. What was it? So that would have been 95. They were at 130 something there. So they got 95, 133, 95, I think it was. So they move up 40 spots. So obviously, you know, that's a big deal for them. So we'll see where they go on, you know, Friday night. Okay, real quickly, let's talk about the option other than wide receiver. My favorite would be Cooper DeJean. Now, I've said all along, I don't see a rookie coming in playing safety here. It's not what they do. But this guy, I think, can be special in this league. I think he's a perfect fit for this defense. I don't know if you can really trust to put him on the field considering all that goes into this defense and all the things you have to know and how they try to treat it. But man, if there's a guy that, you know, kind of fits everything they do and what they're about, it's Cooper DeJean, the safety with position flexibility to play cornerback from Iowa.
I don't disagree with anything that you said. But if they take him, then once again, are they really waiting until pick 60 to take their first wide receiver
the issue.
In this class? Because then it's like, what are you doing? Even if there's guys who you like, who you still think that are in the same bucket, first off, you're rolling the dice because then you'd have to wait 26 picks to get to that point. And who knows if there's another run on wide receivers, even if you feel like they're all similar. So that's why, to me, I think, personally, you'd take a wide receiver early, and then you see, is Tyler Newbin available? Is Kareem Kitchens available? Is Cole Bishop available? Like, is somebody like that available? Because I think the drop-off between the receivers will be greater than the drop-off between DeJean and then some of the other. Even though I know his skill set is very versatile, because you could theoretically draft him, use him as a safety now, and then maybe use him as a cornerback down the road. I don't think that would probably happen, though. And I think that they like their corners maybe more than a lot of the people on the outside do. I'm still just so hung up on wide receiver. The first 14 picks in this draft tonight were wide receivers. Teams care about offense. The Bills have Josh Allen as their quarterback. They need to go all in on offense. They need to get him weapons. Because right now, Curtis Samuel is their number one wide receiver, and that's a problem.
All right, I'm pulling up wide receivers here. Just going to go to one site, Tankathon here. Just got to make sure I got all these.
These aren't hot takes.
Hold up.
These aren't hot takes.
We're having our colleagues are having fun with us here.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the wide receivers.
Uh-huh.
Give me your three names that you would like the most, that you think fit the most, or most likely, I guess, out of the group that's amazing, that's remaining.
Well, Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, is the guy that just makes the most sense because he was somebody who had size, speed, upside, but then there were questions about the prospect, you know, just stuff about his, you know, off-field, all that other nonsense that goes into it. So it's interesting to me because maybe there is truth to that because he is available. So maybe that scared off some teams. Ladd McConkey is really interesting because he is just a really solid route runner. He is a little bit like the other guys that they currently have. I know he's a little bit bigger than people give him credit for. He can play outside. He is not strictly a slot receiver guy. I thought Xavier Leggett would be a good option for them, but obviously Carolina trades up with the Bills right to ultimately get him. Troy Franklin's got some size, and Keon Coleman's another name. So those are some of the guys that are
Give me, what's your order, though? I mean, your top three. Who would you like to see?
If I was drafting a receiver at 33 tomorrow, I would go A.D. Mitchell 1, Ladd McConkey 2, Troy Franklin 3.
I think I would go Ladd McConkey 1, Javon Baker 2, Adonai Mitchell 3.
Javon Baker is one of those players that all the people we talk to at the combine, and then some of the people we talk to leading up to the draft, I feel like we're higher on than maybe the consensus is. Now, that doesn't matter. Like, Ricky Pearsall is rated below a lot of these guys on a lot of lists, and he was drafted in the first round.
Jalen Polk is still there. Roman Wilson is still there. We don't know what they feel about Keon Coleman, who doesn't seem to fit the boxes they want, but, man, he's a terrific guy, terrific player.
I don't know if that's true, if he doesn't fit the box. I mean, he's 6'3". Like, he's big. I think that size by itself is probably an overrated. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think they have to take somebody who's huge. I think they got to take somebody who's talented and who can get open, because I think that's more important than just being big and trying to throw jump balls to somebody. Keon Coleman's really interesting, though, because we did the podcast leading up to this and he was very polarizing. Some people were like, yeah, he's going to be awesome. He's risky, but he's going to be awesome. The one thing we have learned about Brandon Bean is he's not afraid of taking the guys with upside. Keon Coleman is a prospect with upside. But I think some of those other guys are the same way. I think A.D. Mitchell is that way. A.D. Mitchell, from a football standpoint, has upside.
Okay, before we head on out of here, we just heard, you heard John Wara open up his can. He's having some drinks. They take care of us down here at One Bills Drive. What did you think of the dinner they gave us tonight? Pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, we're talking about dinner. Dinner was good. I apologize for my friend Elena, who was not able to partake in dinner because it was
Passover. Why didn't you have dinner?
Passover.
Oh,
so she wasn't. Okay. Yes.
Very
so
respectable.
She couldn't have Pat. Yes. There you go. Dinner was great. Mulberry's got exceptional food.
It was very good. And the pasta was good. The meatball was good. And a lot of snacks to keep us going here for the weekend. Usually they do a day of pizza and wings and a day of subs too.
What does Sal Capaccio know about good Italian food?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't even have any vowels in your last name.
Yeah. My mom, who now lives in Amherst, you know, she was I really didn't live near my mom for most of my life. When I, you know, once I went to college and moved to Florida, then she was in Florida for a little while, then Georgia. Anyway, she now, every once in a while, we'll go over and have pasta, and she will make sure I go home with a nice big, big canister of sauce, a big Tupperware of sauce.
Yeah, I've always got a couple Tupperwares of sauce from Tressa Beauvais in my freezer that are always ready to go in a pinch. Let's end with this. Who do you think they take? Do you think, first off, do you think they take a player at 33?
I do. I think it's time. I think they're going to draft a player.
Who do you think it is?
I think it'll be, as I sit here now, I mean, I just think it feels like A.D. Mitchell, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Ladd McConkey.
I think it's Cooper DeJean. I don't think I don't think that's right, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
I just feel like Sean McDermott, that's like the exact type of guy that
Yes, it is. But he's not running the draft. Brandon Bean is. Sure. And that is a thing that's out there, right? That I've read this. Boy, if they take DeJean, that's such an indication that Sean McDermott runs the show. That is not true at all.
No, I don't think that. I think it's Brandon Bean's job to find players who fit well with the coaches that they have. And I think Cooper DeJean has the skill set that he would be able to help them in a lot of different ways. And he would also be able to make an impact. I am not advocating for this. I do not think.
Are you stunned he's out of the first round? I kind of am.
No, because there wasn't even a defensive back taken until like the mid-20s. So there were guys.
A lot of teams had a chance at him then.
I tend to think we're sitting up here. All of these general managers know so much more than I do. Yes. They know, they put months and months and months of work and research into this. Like, of course, we should have our opinions. Everybody should have their opinions. But like, they know there's a reason why he slid.
Maybe I get that. What I'm saying is, of course that's the case. I'm asking you, you're not surprised that he slid?
No. Not really.
Because I mean, after everything that we heard about how good he is, how much he fits, how much everybody loves him.
Well, no, because I think during the process, you look at so many different projections. You look at so many different mock drafts. And he was a guy. He was not somebody who I saw in the teens. He was somebody who I saw in the mid to late 20s. So him sliding, if he goes in the first couple picks, would not be shocking to me. Like, I think there's like Jerzon Newton is a player who I'm surprised was not selected. He is somebody who I saw mocked a lot.
Agreed.
In the mid-teens to early 20s, hey, this guy makes sense for the Dolphins or for any other team that needs a defensive tackle, and he's still available, which is also a need for the Bills. So it's like, could the Bills draft a defensive tackle first? I don't think so, but if they like the player more than they like those other guys, I just think that now with three picks on day two, they have to get two wide receivers minimum. But that's also interesting because even if they get two wide receivers, I still do not think that they have figured out their wide receiver room.
Rounds two and three on Friday night. All right, it's 2:16. We've gone a little over 20 minutes. I think that's good enough for us to be able to say thank you very everybody for listening. Good night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about the meal tomorrow at 2:16 again on Saturday morning when we catch up with you guys again.
And thanks a lot to Mike Robbie, our producer.